And we'll be in this book maybe for some time. For the blessings of the reading of His Word. And to think about this verses from 15 through 23 is a prayer of Paul's. And he's praying for the people there at the church at Ephesus, which was already saved. And he was praying, as we took these verses last Wednesday night, for their understanding, for the heart of their understanding to be enlightened and to know the hope of the calling of Jesus Christ has called you for, and to know this. That's what Paul was praying for that church for, and also that I'm praying for each and every one of us. Because if we know this, it will be a life-changing truth to know what Christ Jesus have brought to you and I when He died on the cross of Calvary. So this morning as I read these verses, verses 15 through 23, wherefore, when you see a wherefore in the Bible, you need to see what it's there for, and usually it's a hinge back to what's already been said in the previous verses, which tells us about our great riches that we have in Christ Jesus that we covered for several weeks in these first few verses. You are a very rich person here today if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have trusted Him. You are very, very rich. Also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding, that is your heart, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He has wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let us pray. Father, we again want to thank You, Lord, for the great power of the Word of God. Father, we thank You for the stirring of the Spirit of God that we know that's with us this day. And Father, we just pray for those that's traveling, those are sick, and those cannot be with us today, but also the ones that's here, Father, in a mighty way, we just want to thank You for the privilege we have to worship and serve a living Savior. Lord, was willing to die on a cross to save our soul. We thank You and praise You, and again, as old Paul prayed, and my prayer is that our understanding, Lord, may be enlightened, that we may know and grow in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, we know that You will work today, and we thank You. In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Kingdom dominion. In 1940, in a university in Chicago, there was a makeshift laboratory set up. And a few scientists split the atom bomb and released the power about 1 to 6 million. The atomic age begun. And the world have never been the same since. That power was there all the time, but unknown, undiscovered, and unapplied. And the power that exceeds that so many times it's not even worthy to compare, and that is the power that God wrought in Jesus Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The power. Paul is praying, if you will know the power, it'll be so many times greater than the atomic power. It will change your life. It will change the people around you, your family. It will change this world if God's children can learn and understand this power that He has given unto us. And that was Paul's prayer. That the power that God brought in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead and has given this power unto us, kingdom and domain, is what He has for us, this power. Now, the devil wants to keep you from knowing this. That's the reason Paul was praying to the church. Because the devil will do everything he can do to keep you from knowing what this power really represents in your life and my life. And if he can keep you away from church, and if he can keep you away from the Word of God, and he can keep you from knowing these things, he's got the battle won. Because he do not want you to know what Paul has prayed for in this first prayer in this book of Ephesians. And I pray the same thing for this church. And here we find out this battle and this kingdom domain. Can you imagine now you are a very, very rich father? Your son has just got married. And you have given your son this great estate. You said, son, I want you and your lovely bride to stand side by side and shoulder to shoulder. I love you and I want you to reign and rule over this estate. Everything that you can imagine has already been applied here to this estate. All you have to do is just manage this estate. Prosperity, everything that you need. Then a stranger come by one day, says to his bride, begin to doubt what the father gave them. Doubt on the word which he said. He's very clever, a very wicked stranger. And then later he even turned to the son and got them to doubt the father's motive for giving them the estate and the father's love for them when he gave them that estate. He began to tell them that I can run this better than you can. And all you have to do is just turn this over to me and I'll take care of everything if all you have to do is just turn this estate over to me. You say, preacher, did that ever happen? Yes, it did. In the Garden of Eden. That really happened. Adam signed over to Satan everything. Revelation 1 and 6, God brought it back to us and it says, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 5 and 10, and have made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Man lost it. God regained it back through Jesus Christ, what Adam sold away. Adam lost the kingship. Jesus Christ redeemed it. Kings and priests and queens, the foundation that we see here this hour of the message, the Holy Spirit of these three truths, this dominion was glorious given by God to Adam. It was legally lost. It must be righteously regained. And you know the story of Christmas when you understand these three statements. Jesus Christ done for us. The truth and the power that he gave to every one of us, his children. The power that you have today. This kingdom dominion was glorious given. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God intended for man to have this dominion. You remember whenever Jesus come back the second Adam he was? You remember he had control over the fish when he had to pay tribute to Caesar? He just called the fish up. There was a coin in his mouth. How about when the disciples went fishing? They caught nothing. He said, cast your nets on the right side of the ship. And their nets, so many fish, broke. But also, how about the fowls of the air? Could you remember old Peter failed him three times? Jesus Christ says, you know, that old rooster's going to crow. And old Jesus just plucked that old rooster and he crowed. And how about the animals? Whenever Jesus Christ was riding in Jerusalem, he said he's riding in on a donkey, had never been rode. Can you imagine? Us boys, we used to go ride cows and horses or mules sometimes, never been rode. Now that's the time. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ got on that donkey and it's just as gentle as it could be. He had dominion. What God had given Adam gloriously, he lost this power, this dominion. Now, this word dominion means a place of authority. It means to rule over. tread down the earth under its feet. Psalm 8 and 6 tells what he done for us. Thou hast given him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Talk about mankind. He has given this. God gave the first Adam dominion. He lost it. Now the day you and I are sons of Adam. We are sons of Adam. In Genesis chapter 5 and 3, they begot sons in Adam's likeness after his image. You and I today are not the image of God. We in the image of Adam. We're in the image of Adam. Adam lost it and passed it on to us. We're not in the image of God. But oh, Adam, because he fell, we fell also. We are the sons of Adam. Do we rule? Do we reign? Just look upon our world today and it answers the question for you. Do we have dominion over the earth, over disease, over the creeping things, over wars, disease? Just look around you today and then answer the question, do we reign and rule? Do we have dominion? We lost that dominion. Little boy was sitting on the steps of school the first day of school crying, and the janitor says, son, what's the problem? He said, well, my mother told me to bring my certificate of birth. Certificate of school is very important. And I lost it, and I lost my excuse for being born. You know, Adam and Eve lost their excuse that God created them. And the reason God created them. Today, as you think about this, King dominion was glorious given. God gave that to Adam to be passed on. But he lost that to old Satan. But this kingdom dominion was legally lost. Legally. And understand this, legally lost. It's like kids today going off to college maybe. A lot of them in high school. Give them a new car. You give them a new car. You're really proud of them. They going off to school and you give them a new car. And you sign over the title of the car of that child. A few weeks later, the child comes home. You say, where's the car? Dad, I just gave it away. Legally give it away. It might make you mad, but after it's legally given away, there was nothing that you could do about that car being given away. You see, a boy was in school and college, said, Dad, I need a new car. He said, well, son, I don't know about it. Yeah, he said, I need a new car. What do you need? He said, all the students got new cars at this college. So his daddy bought him a new car. Well, a few weeks later, his daddy visited him, and he parked out in the parking lot, walking into the dorm where he was at. He said, son, I see a lot of old. I thought you said everybody had new cars at this school. And what's all these old cars doing out in the parking lot? He said, no, that's the teachers. So once the legally given, legally lost, there's nothing that you can do about it. Adam legally lost the dominion that was for you and I today. He legally lost that. He gave it to Satan and become Satan's slave. God created the holy angels. I'll tell you one thing. God did not create the devil. He did not create the devil. He created the holy angels. But he also gave them the power of choice. He became the devil because of the power of choice. You remember in Isaiah 14 where Satan says, I will rise upon the Father, I will. The power of choice. And Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, and he said unto them, I behold Satan as a lightning falleth from heaven, and he was kicked out of heaven, and one third of the host with him with that choice of power. And the battle began here on this earth, a battle of all creation here on this earth. Satan attempted to achieve on earth what he failed to achieve in heaven, and that's to be worshiped. He wanted to be enthroned, so he come down to earth and he was enthroned and have dominion, and he had authority this day because Adam yielded to him. Satan to Adam, he says, you will be as gods. But he found out later on that was a lie, and he became a slave to Satan. Romans 6 and 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." You are a slave. Man was spiritually dethroned when he gave it over to Satan. Lost this kingdom of dominion. Ephesians 2 and 1 and 2, it says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespassing and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient." That's us as without Jesus Christ in our life. This dominion was glorious given. This dominion was legally lost. But now, where it comes in, this dominion must be righteously regained. And if you understand this, Paul praying for his church, and also today, if you'll understand this, you'll understand exactly what Christmas is all about. Now, why doesn't God just kill the devil and just evaporate him, or just cast him down to the lower parts of hell, which he made hell for the devil and his angels? God don't owe the devil anything. Why he don't? Because, you see, he owes his righteousness everything. That's the reason he has to be won God's way. He has to be bought back in a righteous way. His own righteousness, his own holiness, his own justice. Legally lost, legally regained. As we understand, it was given to man, it was lost by a man, it must be regained by a man. And all this power. Ephesians 15, 21 and 22. "For since by man came death," that's Adam, "by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die." That was passed on to you and I. "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You're sitting here this morning and there's two representatives of man. You are either in Adam or you're either in Christ. There's no other place for you to be. You're children of the devil or you're children of the Lord. You're children of the devil by being born into this world, in a falling world, in a falling nature. To understand this, Hebrews 2 and 14 says, "For as much as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is, the devil himself. Adam was dethroned and he was judged. Romans 6 and 23, "For the wages of sin is death." There's a gift he gives to you and I today, eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Adam, you have life now. Jesus Christ gives this gift, eternal life. In Galatians 4 and verse 3, it says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." I want you to get this together now where he's bringing it back to us. The son of a slave is a slave. The son of a slave is a slave. I know that we know the history of the slaves that we had in the United States and how terrible it was, but when a child was born in that slave family, that child was a slave. That child was a slave. When you have children born to you, that child had the nature of you. All the way back to Adam, that child had the nature to sin. Under the bondage of the sin, every child. You see, the slaves, Adam sold his dominion to Satan. As plenty here we say, "I'm not a slave." You might say here today, "I'm not a slave. I do what I want to do." You might do what you want to do, but you don't do what you ought to do. And that's where it comes in at. Galatians 4 and 4 again. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Now the answer was asked in Genesis and also given to us in Genesis chapter 3 and 15. It says, "Now It says the seed of a woman. The seed of a woman. You see, all the Old Testament prophets, all the scribes could never understand that statement in the book of Genesis. The seed of a woman. Because a woman does not have the seed. It comes from the man. But yet it says, Satan, we will beat you by the seed of a woman. That could never be understood. You cannot understand the Word of God without revelation. God must give you this revelation to understand the Word of God. And that comes through the Holy Spirit of God. No matter how smart some people think they are, no matter how much school or education that they go to, without the knowledge of the Holy Spirit of God to reveal the things of the Word of God, you cannot understand it. Paul said, I want to show you a mystery. And that is the mystery of the church. That's another one. They could not understand the Old Testament. Saints, prophets, scribes could not understand the mystery that Paul was talking about. I'll show you a mystery. And it's a mystery of the church. Because in the Old Testament, there was two mountain peaks. In the same verse of scriptures, in a lot of places, it had the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they turned this and they looked and they saw it. And they looked in the same verse of scripture. It didn't look like they had no valley. But I know a lot of been to the Smoky Mountains and all the Blue Ridge Mountain, all the mountains, and you get up there and you see a mountain over there. Well, it won't take about 30 minutes. We build another mountain and you ride a half a day before you get there. It looks like it's pretty close when you got them lined up. But there's a great valley before you get to the next top of the mountain. Well, in the Old Testament, that's what the mystery was. They did not have the revelation of the church age that you and I are living in. They've been a great mountain from the time that Jesus Christ was born till the time that Jesus Christ come back after his church is a great valley. And it's called the church age that you and I are living in. The mystery they could not understand without the revelation. They could not understand the seed of a woman. What in the world is it talking about? The Word of God is true. They believe the Word of God. It was true. It was penned to mankind. They could not understand this. Well, it had to be a man. It had to be if it had been a son of Adam, it had been a sinful nature man. He had been born a slave. It had to be a man, but if it was born of Adam, it would have been a sinful man. It had been a slave, and a slave cannot redeem no one. This was, again, a mystery. Even today, it was a mystery. So the virgin birth, Christmas time, steps in. The seed of a woman. It says, made of a woman. Jesus did not defeat Satan as God. Jesus defeated Satan as man. You better get that down. Hebrews 2 and 14 again. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I will destroy Satan by being a perfect man. Only one perfect man. And then we tell you that the battle began. The battle there of dominion. Jesus Christ was born a virgin. Now Satan says, you know what? I got me a full-time problem here. And a battle began. Now Satan desired to be like God and to be worshipped. Adam sinned and gave this all to Satan, his dominion. He deceived Adam. Now old Satan says, you know, I got to get this one to sin whenever Jesus is born. He grew up, he said, I got to get this one to sin also. I got Adam to sin the first. I got to get this man to sin also. Because see, if I don't, I won't maintain what I have. And whether you realize it or not, a battle began with Jesus Christ. Satan put all of his artillery upon Jesus Christ. He knew he had to get Jesus Christ to sin. If he did not, he would lose his dominion. And everything that he had, he would lose it if he could not get Jesus Christ to sin. In Luke chapter 4, we see the battle. The battle also in the wilderness. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus Christ, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now he's carried by the Spirit into the wilderness. The battle there in the wilderness. And it tells us what happened in this wilderness battle. The first thing it said, verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He was hungry. For 40 days, would you have been hungry? But as man, Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the same is true to every one of us today. What is every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? It's right here before you. He'll never say anything to mankind. This is what we live by. This is what we die by. This is what we get judged by. There's nothing else or no new revelation. He'll never say anything else to mankind than what God have already said in his written word to every one of us. You shall not live by bread alone, but the word of God that proceeds out from the mouth of God. All right, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdom of this world in just a moment of time, which he had to call Adam had given them to him. And the devil said unto him, all the power I will give unto thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me from, O Adam, and to whosoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be yours if you will do that. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. That's for you and I today. The third skirmish. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a high pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Jesus answered and said again unto him, this is the word of God. It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The battle was won in that wilderness journey, but it was not over with. You see, he was tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield to temptation. John 14 and 30, hereafter, Jesus said, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. See if he would have sinned. Now, he was not tempted to see if he would sin. It was to show that he could not sin. And to show that he could not sin. Because Satan had nothing on him. He could not, he didn't have an itch he could scratch. You ever seen stainless steel? The reason it don't rust like other metal? Because it's shiny. And then, you know, the old rust can't get into it. There was nothing that old Satan could do. He didn't have the nature that you and I have. He had that nature from God the Father. Yet he did not yield to old Satan himself. Adam and Eve, they had this same weapon that you and I have today. Had the same weapon that Jesus had when he was tempted. The two weapons that you have, the same two weapons that Adam and Eve had, what is that? It is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They had that in the Garden of Eden. They refused to use it. If you're saved today, you have that knowledge and you have those two weapons, and there's a word of God and the Spirit of God is giving to every one of us. Now, Adam fell in the garden. Jesus Christ won in the wilderness. As we see today, the battle goes on. Then old Satan moved to the garden. Luke chapter 22 and 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. There was another battle. Jesus, do you really want to go through this battle? Do you really want to go to the cross? And he prayed to the Father. Father, if there's any way possible for us to win this battle, without me going to the cross, without me drinking this cup, please remove it. But then Jesus said, not my will as man, but God's will be done. And he went to the cross. Oh, Satan says, not your will, God, but my will. Jesus Christ says, not my will, but your will, God. And the battle was won there in the garden. And then, you know, there was a battle in the tomb. Yeah, I see that, the tomb. Because, you see, in Gethsemane, he won that battle. Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. John 19, 30 said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar and said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And they carried him to a tomb, the battle in the tomb. Now here's the battle that began to rage. Here's going on. Oh, Satan's not through. I can't give up. If I lose this battle, I'll lose everything that I've ever gained on earth. I lost it in heaven, I'll lose it here on earth if I lose this battle. Paul's praying now in the church there at Ephesus that I have read you his prayer. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all the principalities and powers and mights and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to all, head over everything, even to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him and the fullness of all. Here it is. It's what he done. He gave it to him. This is Paul's prayer to understand what I have just read to you. What Satan do not want you to understand, what I've taught you this morning about. Satan don't want you to understand this. Satan don't want you to know the power that you have in Christ Jesus because he's raised from the dead. And give us this power. In Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Now, we have a lot of problems in our country, do we not? Hard for me to watch television and a group of people, a party that wants to destroy this country. It hates Jesus Christ and hates God. It's hard for me, and I read this statement because I know they want to destroy the country that I love so much. But they're going to destroy this. Our next election will be hinged upon where people vote for the life of this nation or the death of this nation. I tell you right now, you won't be voting for a Democrat or Republican. You'll be voting for the life or death of this nation. And these people, it's hard for me not to dislike them. And God says, you know what? Your war is not with them because there's a devil. There's a demon. Demon is a sign. Ain't no telling how many of them. It's not them theirself, but it's behind the scenes. It's the devil himself that God is telling us about right now. Hebrews 1 and 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and beholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, even we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and have raised us up together. When Jesus Christ was raised from that tomb, you was raised. And made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Where's Christ at today? Right hand of the Father. Where are you at today? If you were in a barrel and I put you in Satilla River, where would you be? You'd be in the barrel in Satilla River. We in Christ Jesus in heavenly places today. Satan do not want us to know this. Paul had a prayer for all that church. You know what? There would be a great change in your life and my life if we just understood the atomic power that he would give us in Christ Jesus to every one of us. You see, God has given this power to us. The power that lies within us, we just have this power. We've never unleashed this power before. Can you imagine a handful of disciples, this power was unleashed to them, and the world has never been the same since those disciples walked on this earth with Jesus Christ. And there was just only a few of them. And we have millions and millions and millions of Christians today. Can you imagine this power released? Can you imagine the power released upon our country this day? And it seems like we are being defeated in every way. The Christians, all of our Christian rights be taken away from by a political party. All of your rights have been taken away and will be taken away. Can you imagine what we could do if we understood the power that we had in Christ Jesus? That bunch wouldn't have a chance. But you see, we're scared to death. We don't know the power. We run in and we hide. We stay in the confinements there of the four walls of the church. We don't get out and do the mission work we should and tell people about Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what would happen if we really become missionaries for the Lord Jesus Christ here in our country, in our houses, in our community, and seeing this power that God has released upon us? You see, it is great to know the power that God has given us, this power to help us. Now, to have this power, you got to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to understand, you see, you are in the family of Adam. And there's nothing that you can do to get out of that family. You was born in that family. There's nothing that you can do to get out. A slave was born into a slave family, and there's nothing a slave could do. You couldn't be good enough to get out of a slave family. There was no money. You was broke. You see, that's what you are today. Without Jesus Christ, you are a bankrupt sinner. You are a slave, and there's nothing that you could ever, ever do to get out of that relationship with old Satan. Jesus come along, died on the cross, and bought you back from that slave market, paid that price in full because he was a perfect man. And he says, okay, son, here it is. I give this to you. You have your soul. You want to give it to me for safekeeping? It's up to you. He's give everybody a choice for their soul. You got a soul. What you going to do with it? You see, your soul and your spirit are going to be around for all eternity. These little beautiful little children that comes into our life, comes into our family, oh, aren't they sweet? Them grandkids, aren't they so sweet? Oh, they are so precious. But you know, they are born with a falling nature. A falling nature. And God will have no part of this old flesh and blood. That's the reason that you go out to the cemetery and you see little small graves. But that soul and that spirit of that child is going to be somewhere for all eternity. And your soul and your spirit is going to be somewhere for all eternity. Here it is. I give it to you. You're holding your soul in your hands. What are you going to do with it? Well, you see, if you die, you are a sinner. You're a sinner. If you die, you know what's going to happen to your soul? It's going to go to that place where old Satan and his demons are going to be, called a place called hell. You know, all you have to do is just turn your soul over and lay them in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus for safekeeping. You see, when you do that, it said you're sealed by the Spirit of God forever and forever and forever. No power will ever be able to take you out of the hands of Jesus Christ. Don't you want that power this morning? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you never accept Jesus Christ, you can. And you can have that same power. But all you have to do to go to hell is just act naturally. You don't have to do anything. Just act naturally. Because a place is made for the devil and his angels, and all those reject Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, to realize that you are a sinner, and realize if you die in your sin, where you will go this hour, and you realize that Jesus Christ was born of virgin birth, went to that cross, never sinned, took back from that old devil the power of death, because see, you're looking at a person right now that will never die. Oh yeah, this old body's going to go to dust and earth. I ain't worried about that. But the real me, you can't see. And the real you, I can't see. There's a spirit and a soul in every one of you. And that spirit and soul will never die if you know Jesus Christ. The Bible says, you believe us that? If you believe that, you'll never die. It's up to you. Wouldn't you want to be saved today? And it's so simple. All you have to do is come, and I'll tell you how to be saved. Just pray that prayer. It's so simple. It becomes a song of invitation. I hope God has blessed you, and I hope that your hearts of your understanding have been enlightened, that we might know this power, because there's so much power that God has given us we never use. We never use this power. Oh, if we could just use this power, it would change your home. You're having problems in your homes. You're having difficulties in your life and jobs or whatever it might be, sickness, trials, tribulation, whatever it might be. If we could just understand the power that God has given us, man, I tell you, it'd be great. It would be so great. God bless you and thank you this morning as we sing this beautiful song. Let us stand, please.